Thank you, Lord. I just love that. God does not depend on us. We can depend on God. Amen? Amen. Holy Lord, hallelujah. We thank you so much for your word this morning. And you spoke to us. You are certainly present with us. I pray it become all the more evident throughout this time. And Lord, some of us, I think every one of us, we need to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church today, and the church is us, and you have something to tell us, and we need to hear it. I pray, God, that you would open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what Holy God, Spirit, and Son has to say to us, your children, your redeemed ones. No longer orphans, but children of God. We want that so much. And may I be just filled with your zeal, your courage, boldness, righteousness, empowered to speak the word in authority. Humbly asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've said it before and I'm going to keep saying it. It's a bad day for the devil. It's a bad day for the devil. As soon as we start to discover the authority we have in Christ, Jesus said that I have given you authority and power. He said so. And everything he says is so. Amen. And did you enjoy that Sunday back? God has never lost a battle, and he's not about to lose one now. He is never going to lose. The victory is already won. The victory is won at the cross. And from there back and there forward, victory is done. It is sealed and done. Amen. It's just a matter of having our victory parade when we all go to heaven. But for now, we need to know that we have great authority in Jesus. In Jesus. I just want to take you to another text that warns us of that old liar, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. 1 Peter 5:8, powerful. Quick, one verse, boom. There's a lot right here. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, that lion devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Apparently, not everybody can be devoured, but some can. Some are edible. Some Christians are apparently more edible than others. That's what I'm getting here. He's seeking. He's not every one of you is on the menu, but someone is. And sometimes it's you. Sometimes in your weakness, sometimes in your weariness, sometimes in your anger, sometimes in your pride, sometimes in your strength, in your I got this. You know, because wasn't it just before the fall? Pride comes and then the fall, right? And the bigger the pride, the bigger the fall. And you hit hard, like lightning smacking hard into the ground, leaving an impact. It's like that. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. This is a sober spirit is one that's just sharp, is paying attention. It's not just being sober of mind, but of spirit. This is something else. Be of sober spirit. This is about our prayer life. I love that. I was praying in the Spirit, she says. And the Lord said something to me. That sounds very biblical. I was in the Spirit one day. I know not whether I was in the flesh or the Spirit, John says, right? Isn't that wonderful? And then, be sober in the Spirit. Be alert. Be attentive. Be sharp. Be careful. Be on guard. That's what I'm getting from this. Be alert, because there is an adversary. He is your adversary. Says right here, your adversary, the enemy of your soul, the enemy that wants to kill you, wants to steal from you, wants to destroy you, wants to annihilate you. You have a real enemy. He is not a fictitious character with a pitchfork and a chubby little red suit and horns. Oh, if only. If only. But he's not. I can assure you he's not. He was a glorious angel in heaven. He was one of the archangels. In fact, he was glorious. He was an angel of light. He was beautiful. He was beyond our wildest imaginations. His appearance would be absolutely breathtaking, I expect, and frightening at the same time. Probably bigger than the Chrysler Building, as I remember reading one time about angels. Well, if you actually saw how big angels were, you would be very afraid. You would probably fall nearly dead at the appearance of an angel in all of its glory, all of his glory, their glory, I'm not sure. So there you have it. Apparently not all Christians are edible then. That's good. I want to be unedible. Inedible? I don't want to be eaten. How's that? Don't you agree? I don't want to be on the menu when the enemy is prowling around. So, I think we should consider some scriptures that help us to become less edible. And in fact, poison to the enemy. How's that sound? So in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, well, just resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what we get from that. No. First, submit yourselves to God. It's not enough to resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if you have not yet submitted to God. It's first, submit to God, then resist the devil. If you don't get the order of this correctly, if you resist the devil, and hopefully at some point in your life you will submit to God, not going to happen. I've been counseling. I'm not a great counselor. I'll tell you right up front. Anybody that's come to me from counseling, I can probably give you my counseling technique in about two words. Stop it. Because every time it's, well, I'm having trouble with this because I'm doing this and this and this and this. Stop it. But I'm just, you don't, it's just, if you could just stop it. But you can't just stop it. Isn't that true? If you could just stop it, wouldn't that be wonderful? If you could just resist temptation, if you could resist the devil, you could just stop it. But the truth of the matter is, if we get right down to the truth of counseling, submit to God. Give it to God. You have no strength in yourself. In your strength, that's your greatest weakness. Every strength has a backsided weakness to it. Every weakness is an opportunity for God to be strong in you, to perfect his strength in your life. It's in your weakness. It's when you finally admit, I can't do this. I can't resist hardly anything. I need God. That's my best advice. Submit to God. Actually, it's not even my advice. It's James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, submit yourselves then to God. Completely surrender to God. Go, admit it, I can't do this, but I know you can help me, Lord. I need your strength in my life. I'm pathetic. You're not. Thank you, God. You will win every victory. I won't, but you will. Every battle, God wins. I can already predict the outcome of every contest between God and whatever. God wins. Every time. So submit to God. The devil's a loser. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He must flee from you. Period. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Another promise. If you draw to God, he will draw near to you. The scriptures say, seek God while you may find him. And he's not hiding. And if he is, he's hiding in plain sight. He's right there. In fact, no matter how far you are from God, going the wrong way, turn around, there he is. Right there, still pursuing you. Thank you, Lord. That's all you got to do. Turn around and say, God, I'm here. Do not give the devil a foothold. That's a beautiful scripture. Ephesians 4:27. I got stuck there, right there. Do not give the devil a foothold. You see, we are protected. I almost see us like we are the kingdom of God. And we are in this spiritual kingdom that is fortified. We are safe in the kingdom of God. But all you need do is give the devil a foothold, and he can get climbing up into you, into your life, get into your face, get into your stuff, get into you and your thoughts, and oh my, into your home, into your family, into your finances. Just a foothold, just a crack in the door, just the tiniest little opportunity. He is throwing stuff at us all the time, seeing what sticks, seeing, oh, there's weakness. And like I said, often our weakness is disguised as a strength, isn't it? It's so often. I mean, our weakness might be our pride. Our pride, oh no, I'm quite the something, you know. I'll tell you what, and it goes so well with the scripture we read the last couple of weeks about the enemy, how he is going around looking for those he can, what is it, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his plan. Remember, Jesus has a plan. God has a plan for your life. Satan also has a plan, and it's a threefold plan: to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I thought, man, that's even better. It keeps getting better as I think about it, as I ponder it, as I meditate on those three ideas, and each one is separate, and yet they are together: steal, kill, destroy. Remember, killing is about the laying down and as a sacrifice. It's not just to kill like murder, but it is to slay as to sacrifice. And to steal, it's like a kleptomaniac, like a pickpocket that is so sly and sneaky that he can steal from you. You didn't even know it. And he starts that way. He starts to steal from you, and you have no idea he's stealing from you because you've got it together. You're fine. Oh, no, hey, listen, I got it all together. And then he gets to the point where you go, wait a minute, I have been robbed. But you know what? I'm kind of stuck in this thing now. Well, here, I'll give you an example if you'd like. How about he steals from you while you're on the internet? Fellas, this is more likely for fellas because we are visual. We operate. We are stimulated through our eyes. God created it that way, but that doesn't mean Satan didn't know that too. Satan knows we were created that way, and now he messes with it. So here you are late at night, all alone, and whatever, YouTubing, or Googling, or whatever you're doing, and boom, you something pops on, and you go, well, oh, I think I'll wait there. Oh, look. Oh, there's another side. Oh, and then boom, boom, boom. That's nothing. Just boop, turn it off, go to bed. Happens again and again. Starts off, as we would say, innocently enough. Oh, it is not innocently enough. It, as soon as the enemy goes, oh, look at that. That's what floats his boat. That's what gets him going. That's what he is enticed by. I found out what lure he bites. He is also a fisher of men. But not to clean you up and make you something amazing, but instead to kill you. So then he's got you with those pictures, those alluring videos maybe. And then it's porn. Oh, and they call it soft porn. Like, that's nice. Oh, it's just soft porn. And then what? Then the next is like medium and then hard, just right. I don't know. What are we going with here? And then, so then what's next? I guess, well, maybe you do some of these 1-800 dial up, you hang it up. Just what in the world? And they pay money for this. It's just $2 a minute. What are you thinking? And then, he's killing you. You know what you just sacrificed? You just laid your family on the altar of sin. You just laid the love of a good woman, your wife. You just sacrificed her on the altar of pornography. And you have just, first he stole from you, and now he is convincing you to sacrifice what you love, what is good in your life. So then he sacrificed, and then ultimately to annihilate you, to destroy you. That is the next phase of his attack. Totally seeing it. By the way, I know that guy. There's the one who starts off with this, oh, what's wrong with lottery tickets? I'm telling you right now. I'm just going to say, if you, I mean, I have actually heard that there are a great many people out there who their retirement plan is to win the lottery. That's messed up. That's not a good plan. And you know what the get-rich-quick plan is? The way to retire well is to start when you're young or now, depending on how young you are, and work hard and put it away and deny yourself today so you have it for later. You're storing up for later. You're just going to have to do that. You're just going to have to deny yourself some things so that you can have it later, so that you can put it away. Even squirrels know how to do that. I mean, it comes naturally. It should come naturally to us. So yeah, so you start off with a little gambling, and then boom, have you seen? They've got machines now all over the place. They're called VLTs, bacon, lettuce, and tomatoes. They're machines. You plug in your money, and then you it's very stimulating because there's lots of lights and noises, and oh, I won something. And I've actually been at places, because I like to eat food, I've been at places where they have really good deals on food, you know, like a half-price steak sandwich. I can't go wrong. But there will be at the back corner maybe a couple or three of these machines, and people live on them. They're there all day, I'm telling you. I didn't stay all day, but they were there, and they just kept staying there, and they must have gone through hundreds and hundreds. So maybe that's the next thing. And then maybe they just get into more and more gambling, and until they have gambled away their family's income, their family's, the money's put away for retirement, what second mortgage the house. What did you just sacrifice? It started off just as innocent enough. That pickpocket, and then all of a sudden he's got you, and now you're willing to lay down you're mortgaging your family's future, you're risking everything because you're kind of, and then again, destroyed, annihilated, completely gone again, wiped out, and it could just even be your love of money. It could start off as just, well, I'm just looking out for my family's best interest. It could be the exact opposite. You sock away so much money that you can't live for today because you just need money, because let's say the love of money is a root of evil, right? The love of money. I mean, it's not money itself, but it's a love of it. Like, it's, I got to have it, got to have more of it. I can't spend it. My children don't get any of it. It's mine. It could be like that for you. I don't know. It could just be as simple as, like cheating on your taxes. It could be, here's my weakness. I'm very competitive, super competitive. So competitive, I actually cheat. I'm sorry. I cheat. Because I'm so stupid competitive. Other people don't, because they're not competitive. They're having fun just being together. Mom and a couple of her friends were playing Scrabble. My mom's telling them how they can beat her. Well, you know, if you played there, oh no, that's not a word. No, you can actually play it there. Are you sure? Yeah, just play it there. You'll win. I mean, if you play it there, you won't win. You should play it there, and then you'll beat me. Huh? Now that's not competitive. That's wonderful. Something more important was happening. Friendship, fun. What a blessing. Togetherness. Just having a great time. Sipping tea, I assume. And there you have it. You know, we all have our weaknesses. And I know every one of those people. I have counseled every one of these people. I know them personally. If you give the enemy even a tiniest foothold, he will take care of you. He will take advantage of that weakness. Probably going to look like a strength. I got this under control. I can handle this. Oh, no, it's all innocent. I knew the guy that said, it's all right to be flirty. Nothing wrong with, going out for lunch with a female colleague of mine, he said. Divorced. Took years for his children to get over it. Did such damage to those teenage kids. Such damage. It took them years to recover because this happened in their teenage years. And this was a Christian man. This was a man who led the church choir. Literally, he led the church choir. And then he fell into adultery. Man. Well, it was harmless enough, wasn't it? And what was sacrificed? His children, his wife, his reputation. Many people who admired that man, it just rocked their faith. It just, how can that be? We thought you were solid. You and your wife, your family, they were the poster family for how to do it right as Christians. And this happens. So there's the sacrifice. And then again, annihilation, destruction, death, gone. So, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Huh? Yes. Here's one, Ephesians 6:13. This is 11 and 13. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. And apparently, we should put on the full armor of God. I just read that here. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, it says just two verses later, so that when the day of the devil comes, and he will, because it happens every day, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Wow. A man named Kevin Garrett, ministering in China for some 20 plus years. This is just now. This man, his family, in China for 20 some years, running basically a coffee shop in China, near the border. And all he was doing all those years, he and his family raised his children there. All they were doing was ministering to people. Because in China, religion is a very sensitive subject. You can't just openly, I think I'll just open a Pentecostal church in China. That's just not going to happen. Or I'm going to hand out Bibles. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very respectful. But for 20-some years, he and his family did this. And then 2 years ago, a little over 2 years, 2 years, a month and a half ago, he was arrested. He and his wife were arrested, accused of spying for Canada secrets of the Chinese through his coffee shop on the border. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was a trumped-up charge, but it was because they didn't like that he'd been doing this for all these years, these 20-some years of ministry, being very careful, very respectful, and yet they'd had enough of this. And they arrested him 2 years, a month and a half ago, he and his wife. It wasn't too long. His wife was released. 766 days in a Chinese prison, this man. He just was released this past week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I watched video after video of this man. I mean, not of him himself, but other people speaking about him. Even about the politicians talking about him, saying, we admired so much the way this family conducted themselves throughout this entire process. They were so gracious, actually use those words, gracious, respectful of the authorities in China, even though they knew this was ridiculous, what was happening. And this man was suffering greatly. Those 766 days in prison, his health had deteriorated terribly. But he was finally released, and family has been reunited, and they're back in Canada now. Thank you, Jesus. Resist him, standing firm in your faith and the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Have you suffered that way yet? May it never be, but it could happen. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. The enemy did not eat this man. The enemy could not eat this man. He wasn't on the menu. Oh, the enemy tried. But that, you know, the full armor of God, the way I see it, if the enemy is a lion and you're wearing the full armor and he goes to bite you, he's just going to bust all his teeth. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. He will try to gum you to death at some point because there will be no teeth left on that lion. There will be nothing left that he can do to you. Let me tell you, church, if we had to fight the devil without the power and the authority of God, we would lose. We would lose. He is a wicked, powerful, fallen angel full of hate and vengeance that wants to take as many down to hell as he can. He's going and he wants company. If we stand against him in our own strength, we fall. He will steal from you. He will cause you to sacrifice what is dear to you. And ultimately, he will absolutely destroy you and everything that you count precious. Unless you are equipped through the authority and power of Jesus Christ, which is already available. Every one of us, we have this offered to us. It is already ours to exercise in that power and authority. It's already here. Don't get nervous about the enemy. The enemy ought to get nervous about you. We have the power. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to going to close like this. Oh, remember that scripture we read at the beginning when the 70 came back and they said, Jesus, even the demons obey us. I mean, they have to submit because we came in the power and authority of your name, in your name, and we cast out demons. We healed the sick. It was an amazing thing. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Hallelujah. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In Revelation, I just had to skip two pages. That's how I love this. This is what Lucifer was up to. And in Book of Revelation, we read it again, and there it is. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, in case you didn't know who we're talking about here, the dragon. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole earth. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan was hurled out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw that. Jesus didn't say, and I did that. Actually, Jesus is saying here, the angels took care of it. I didn't have to do this. It's not God and the devil. I've said that again and again. It's not God and the devil. It's not Jesus and the devil. The angels got this. This isn't actually the real battle. This is a battle, but this isn't the battle. The battle was at the cross. The victory was at the cross. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. But you know what Jesus is looking at? He's looking at the cross. And he's not just looking at the cross. He's looking beyond the cross. There's a joy set before him. Us, salvation, restoration, family. That's what Jesus saw. That's what he was doing. The battle was never against Satan. The victory was won at the cross over sin and the grave. There it is. Jesus has already won. When he said it is over, it was over. It was over. Satan already knows his end because everything God says is so. And if it hasn't yet happened, it's going to happen. And the old enemy, the devil, will be cast into the lake of fire. He and all of his minions, if you will be cast in with him. And that'll be that. God said so, it is so. It's as if it has already happened. God's word is as good as it gets. There is no better word. Hallelujah. Remember, Satan is not invincible. I'm stealing somebody else's quote here. I just love this. He's not invincible, but he's invisible. He's not a respecter of God's people, but he has to respect the blood over God's people. He has to. He is not fearful of the culture's elite, but he is terrified of Calvary's eternity. He is not silent as a lamb around us, but he is speechless at the sound of the Lion of Judah. He may be described as a lion prowling about, but the true lion, the Lion of Judah, that's who we follow. Satan may not listen to our demands, but he has to listen to God. He has to listen in Jesus' name. And he has to know it is finished. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Totally respect C.S. Lewis's work. Great man of God. Quirky, honest, regular guy. C.S. Lewis wrote, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every minute of every hour is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. He does not own anything. Satan steals everything. It's not his. Isn't he seeking to steal? Nothing is his. Anything he has no right to. So stop giving him anything. Give him no ground. Give him nothing. Don't even give him a moment of your thought." Folks, it's high time we as Christians stop sounding retreat and start shouting charge. Attack. Forward. The devil's been taking it to us. We should be taking it to the devil. Amen. We are one in Christ. One. We are one. We are one. Pray for each other. Encourage one another. Lift each other up. There's a war going on in this town. There's a war going on in your family. The enemy has been trying to steal my kids, your kids. Don't you doubt for a second that he hasn't. Of course he is. If they're edible, he wants to eat them. Even if they're a little bit, he wants to eat them. If he can get in his pockets, he's going to steal from them. If he can get them to surrender and sacrifice something dear to them, he is going to do it. And he wants to absolutely destroy, obliterate, annihilate everything you count precious and dear. The war is being fought in every home, in every family, and every heart right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, your word is so amazing. Your truths are absolute, indestructible. Words that cannot be broken. Promises that are always, always kept. If you said it is so, it's not a prediction. It's just a future reality. It's a truth that just will come to pass. It will become history too. Everything you have said will be. Everything you have revealed to us is honest. It's true. Everything the enemy has to say is a lie, is deceit. He's a schemer. An accuser. He's wicked. Thank you, God, that we know you as Lord. Pray for anyone here today who is struggling with any sort of addiction, any sort of sin that has ensnared them. We pray against that now in Jesus' name. And if that's you, just say, "Yeah, that's me." And just to God, just say, "Yep, me, Lord, please. I am ensnared, I'm trapped, I'm entangled, I am caught up in something, and I need out. I can't get out on my own. I keep trying, keep failing, keep falling back in. I'm in a pit, I can't get out. God Almighty, rescue me." Submit to God, therefore. Then resist the devil, and he will flee. You can have victory now if you want it. It could start right now when we say amen and going forward. So we pray this in Jesus' name, and we support those who are struggling as we have struggled too. We all know all about those kinds of lies and snares and addictions. We've all been there. May we not give the devil even a foothold, but rather may we give you our whole lives, our whole selves, our whole hearts, surrendering to Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray in closing, or I should say we're going to sing in closing. Whom shall I fear?
I've heard it said that he who praises has prayed.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Terry, would you come and help us here? And gentlemen, please come sing, play with us, and let's stand together. And let's just remember in closing, we have nothing to fear outside of God Himself. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus.